Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think so. I want you to stand up this morning, greet the new people, the visitors, your friends and neighbors, and tell them Merry Christmas. You weren't very awake this morning. Merry Christmas. Get up. Good morning, Jonathan. Merry Christmas to you. That's a good handshake. Let's go. Now. Good morning. Hey, see how much better you sound? I tell you. Let's start things off because we haven't exactly sang enough. And according to my bulletin, somebody has a birthday coming up. And we don't do this all the time, but I think we should sing happy birthday to Suzanne. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Suzanne. Happy birthday to you. You know how much we love you, right? The other thing I want to point out is Greg. Well, first of all, I just got told that that was too much. I didn't steal them. They gave them to me. I'm proud to be here today. The other thing I want to point out is Greg has been at it again. And as you know, we have the great business cards that he printed up that we can hand out so that when somebody says, where do you go to church? Right here. Right here. See, here's how you get to it. He went and got silly with them, printed up a bunch more, and made them multicolor. Be the first to get yours. I tell you, too much time on his hands. What a proud morning it is to be here this morning. And I see snow. Look out the window. Oh, I can't wait for it. And it's a beautiful morning. It's glory. Don't shake your heads at me. You all know that you want to see a little bit of snowfall just about the time Christmas comes. Thank you, Michaela. Amen. It's a joy to see you all here today. Visitors, Nan and Pat, and on in the back air. It's a good morning to be in church today. Say amen.
Amen.
On your hearts today, joys or concerns. I'd ask that we be in prayer for those who go out and sing today. It's a great day to do that, though. And if you can, please come out. You don't have to think you can sing. Do what everybody else does. They stand in the back and just looks good. What's on your heart this morning? Joys, concerns, prayers, praise. Amen. Others this morning. It's awful quiet there this morning. I am particularly thankful to have gotten here for yet another week. We had great joy yesterday as we got to attend the parade, a Christmas parade, in which we got to put a tractor in. So you know what that means to me. That was a great way to spend a Saturday evening. And the best part of it was that I drove it the mile and a half over and the mile and a half back, but I didn't get to drive it through the parade because my father stepped in and that was the end of that. I got to do the hard work and he got to show off. That's all right. That was a good day for the boys and everything. If there are none this morning, and it's a quiet morning, Frank, how is Anna doing? Pretty good. We're praying for her. You heard anything from that new group of doctors yet? Nothing yet. Okay. If there are none other than, let us join our hearts together this morning. And if you do have that unspoken request, too strong to put out in words, just hand up and down as we bow forward. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing it is, Father. I think sometimes we forget that moment. Got to get up, got to get ready, got to get fierce, got to get everything done, got to get out the door, got to get to church on time. We stop and forget the blessing. Please put it on our heart this morning. But let's just take a moment and be thankful to be amongst brothers and sisters, old friends, new friends, here in your house. What a blessing. What a gift. What a moment. Humble us, Father. We're ever mindful of those who are within sickness, those who struggle to get through the daily tasks of the day, those that are fighting off the disease and ravages that sometimes the body has, or even something as simple as a common cold. Just ask for healing, for power to flow, for time to be taken correctly, that we might come to know you in those quiet moments. You do look upon us. You do see us. You do hear us. You do know us, Father. Thank you. I might ask also for those that are not here today, for whatever reason, travel or whatever is keeping them away, bring them back, Father, safely, that we may celebrate and worship with them again. A special hand upon those who are perhaps bringing in their final time, Father. Be with those families in those time when they need you most. Still their hearts that they might hear you. Again, thank you for children. For the wonder and amazement, let us never forget that. This time of year should remind us of it. Should teach us childlike faith. With those who serve the country, Father, so far away, just putting everything they have, believing in the freedom of this nation, which gives us the right, the privilege, the opportunity to share openly, Father. Be with them, with their families, with those who serve here at home in whatever capacity. We ask for blessings upon the new hospital in Hagerstown as it opens up, and hopefully will usher in a new age of healthcare and protection and healing with those workers, with school teachers, and with preachers standing in pulpits today. May you guide their words correctly, that they speak only your word. And for the unspoken request, for the needs too heavy that we would voice them, but you still know what they are. For families that we're aware of and friends that we know, Father, that are struggling, let us lift them up in prayer. And be thankful that we can do so. Join our hearts together, Father. Hear us as we pray the way Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Second Sunday of Advent. The Barclay family will take care of that point for us now, as they will come do the reading and light the candles. And you can always tell when the child is going to help, because look how beautifully they're dressed. Always does my heart good. She's, lighter's right here. I got everything you need up here. Come on up, Michaela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hear the voice of one crying out into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. O God, help us to walk gently in the ways of peace. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Sophias were the high priest. At the time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living out into the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they have turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming. Make a straight road for him. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God.'" We light again the first Advent candle. And remember that hope is coming. Then as we light the second Advent candle, the candle of peace, we remember that the Prince of Peace is coming, and we join in the work of preparing the way. We can walk gently in the way of peace. Let us pray. God, of all people, help us to be the shepherds of today, glorifying and praising you, and telling about others about Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I am telling you right now, I am glad to have become the father of boys, because there is no way I can handle them precious little girls. I am not built for that. I don't know how in the world you did, Stephen. I could see him coming home right now. "Daddy, I want a horse." I'd go out and buy it. Open your Bibles to the first chapter of Matthew as we continue preparing for Christmas. I think I named my sermon wrong, and we'll talk about that in a minute. As I started to study into it, I think I should have gone a little bit differently with it. But the first chapter of Matthew, starting in the 18th verse. Matthew writes in his gospel these epic words. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, I ask that these words be not from me, but from you, that the thoughts and meditations I have be strengthened by you, Father. That from this we can glean message, we can gain word, we can prop ourselves up with strength. Take it forward as we leave from here, ever mindful of this season and what it truly means. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. I was not sure how to start this. I knew what I wanted to do. It's always about what I want to do until I get told differently, which happens all the time. After all, I'm married. But I didn't know how to start it. And I asked for guidance. And so maybe perhaps the name of this sermon should be changed, maybe not from a quiet man to he didn't have to. He didn't have to. A quiet man works also. But Joseph, father of Jesus on earth, played one of the critical parts in the birth. We forget about it, but today we won't. Today we'll study a little bit about Joseph, his part, and our continuing lead up to Christmas Day, the day when we remember the birth of our Savior. We talk about Joseph, and he stays in the back and teaches us about Jesus. The thing that strikes me with Joseph, the very first thing that you get from him is he never says a word. Read your Bibles, read your Gospels. He's mentioned in Matthew a little bit. He's briefly talked about in Luke, and that's it. And never says a word. Women, how many of you would like a husband like that? I'll bet I know one. If we learn nothing as I bring us up to speed and get us ready for Christmas, if we walk away from none of these lessons, none of these sermons with anything, I would hope that you would gain one thing when you study Joseph, and should be the absolute underlying poignant theme of Christmas, and that is that word. Nobody's comfortable with it. Sometimes you can't say it. I'll guarantee you, you can't do it. And yet when it happens to you, you have to accept it. Humility. Being humble in the Christmas spirit of the season. I don't know if I've told this story or not, but I'm going to tell you about getting humbled. Here not too long ago, we went to Denny's one evening for supper. I happen to be a big fan of that place. Can't you tell? And we were in there, and I had a whole table full of people, and I think we even had some friends along that night. I don't remember for sure, but there was a bunch of us there. And there's an old running joke about me that I know somebody everywhere in the country. And I sat down at the table, and we were ordering the food, and about that time, the manager walked back into the dining room, and he started coming straight for me. And Wendy goes, "I think he's coming for you." And I thought to myself, he probably recognizes me, knows who I am. He comes back to the table. He goes, "You Paul Leatherman?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Yeah, you're starting to laugh." He said, "Are you Paul Leatherman III? I said, "That's right, that's me, Paul Leatherman III, son of Paul Leatherman Jr., up from back up the hill." He goes, "Are you the Paul Leatherman from Myersville?" And of course, the whole table has stopped and watched what's going on, and I'm starting to puff the chest out. "Yes, I am. I'm Paul Leatherman from Myersville." "From Myersville, Maryland," he says. "Yes, that's me." He goes, "Well, you left your wallet in the restroom." Right to the knees. Humble. And it only takes a second. You look around on Christmas Day, you get humbled. You look at Joseph and what he was and who he was and what he was thrust into, you see humility. Because I don't know too many men who will ever back down even when they're wrong. I very rarely do at first until I'm explained it a little differently. We look at this text, we look at this man, we see that a complete, simple understanding of Joseph as we roll into Christmas is that this season should be about humility. And I'm not talking about him, I'm talking about us, brothers and sisters. We need to be humbled as we prepare for it. First of all, you have to understand the Jewish ritual of getting married. Oh my goodness. The first thing that has to happen is the two families have to agree on the marriage. Can you imagine that mess? I would love to have seen how it ever took place. Because They're large families. And they have to agree that this boy and this woman should be together. And I don't know much, but I know a lot of mothers who have never, ever felt that any woman was good enough for their boy. And no father wants to get shed of his daughter, ever. Public announcement comes next. You're hauled out onto a dais out in front of the village. You're placed up there, man and woman. This is the marriage that will take place between so-and-so and so-and-so. And they will be married, and our families have blessed the union. And then there's a party and a feast and some carrying on. And then the third thing happens. You get married. And Jewish weddings are long. I've preached a few weddings now. One of the questions I always get when the couple sits down in front of me is, how long is this going to take? Well, how long do you want it to take? I can go for 20 minutes. I can go for 3 hours. No. 20 minutes will be good. That's usually the guy saying that. Then living together. That's a lot of work, isn't it? Just to get married? I mean, guys, am I right? It was so simple when I proposed to my wife. I'm going to regret telling this one, but I can't help it. I asked her every day from the first day I laid eyes on her to marry me. Every single day. I had done decided, I'm done. I'll never get anything better than that. I'm done. Here we go. Let's get married. She said, no, a lot. Then she finally said, you got to ask my dad. Oh, I thought I got that covered. We wandered on down to Chestertown, Maryland to see her father, whom I had met, and he knew this was coming. And I don't ever do anything the way you're supposed to, ever. We sat down there in the den. He sat in his reclining chair. She sat next to me, and I sat on the couch, and her mother sat to my left, very close by for some reason. And we talked for a couple minutes, and I sat on the couch, had on my best good flannel shirt, smelled just so I'd even shaved a little bit. I was going to be fancy for this occasion. And I looked at him, I said, Mike, you know why I'm here. Let's not play around. I'm here to ask you something. And I reached in my pockets and I pulled them out and I said, look, here's 20 bucks each. Can I have your daughter? He took it. She said, I think she's worth more than that. And made him give me the money back. That's simple. Not in a Jewish marriage. It is a serious, serious business. So serious, in fact, that when he finds out what he finds out, he's got three ways he can go with it. Divorce her and see her killed. Divorce her quietly and let her go away. Or marry her. That's a tough decision when you're a man, when you finally settled in to the woman that you love. Great conflict. Go back to your Bibles. Start again in the 18th verse. We see this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Mary was pledged to marry Joseph. And suddenly she's found to be with child, and the Bible makes note of it, through the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything differently. Oh, well, this happened and that happened. And, you know, no, the Bible says Holy Spirit. She was made to be with Jesus Christ so that he could be born free of sin. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Conflict. Suddenly, without warning, all these customs, all these rituals, everything, out the window. Joseph again teaches us humility when he says, I won't bring her into disgrace. I won't walk around crying and whining. I won't walk around getting mad. I'll just let her go. Simple. Humble. He didn't have to. A quiet man. Now we see what else happens. His role is so often downplayed, and I know that Jesus had him as a legal father here on this earth. And I know that Jesus grew up under him for a period of time. His role is so often forgotten that we often forget that the whole humbling effect of the season starts with him simply saying, "I'll be easy on this." And what else do we read? After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and told him, "Don't be afraid of this. This is right and proper. Don't be afraid to take her home, because what is from her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." And what does the Bible say? One of the best passages there. "He will save his people from their sins." Amen. That's the gift. That, in and of itself, ought to drive you right onto your knees. That this whole big season, and I've said it before, I love Christmas. I love everything there is to love about Christmas. I love seeing houses decorated. I love seeing the Christmas trees. I love Christmas dinner. There's no turkey safe around me. I love getting presents. Love giving them. But as I became conscious again of God, I began to see that this season is for His glory. So above all else, I am thankful because of that verse. He will save His people from their sins, because God gave Him as a gift, I got saved. Because God gave Him as a gift, you got saved. Because Joseph decided to humble himself and listen to the angel and become humble, you're saved. Amen. We need to follow through that right idea. We need to follow through on what He teaches us. We need to follow through that He stood at the back, that He was the man that He didn't have to be. I've had a few guys in my life shape me in just that manner. Quietly, standing in the back, helping me go along. And the reason I thought that this was not going to go where it was, and I got to tell you folks, this was not the sermon that I laid out last week. It changed in about 6 minutes this morning when I happened to be flipping around through something and I stumbled on to how this sermon should go. This was a country music song a couple of years back. Every time I sing this song, I bawl like a baby, so I'm going to speak it. But it is a song, while secular in nature, proves a point. Nobody has to do anything. Joseph did not have to do this. Joseph did not have to be quiet. Jesus did not have to come down. The words of the song go like this: when a single mom goes out on a date with somebody new, it always winds up more like a job interview. I'm not going to get through this. My mama used to wonder if she'd ever meet someone who wouldn't find out about me and then turn around and run. I met the man I call my dad when I was 5 years old. He took my mom out to a movie, and for once I got to go. A few months later, I remember lying there in bed, I overheard him pop the question and prayed that she'd say yes. And then all of a sudden, oh, it seemed so strange to me how we went from something's missing to a family. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me is I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. I met the girl that's now my wife about 3 years ago. We had the perfect marriage, but we wanted something more. Now here I stand, surrounded by our family and friends, crowded round the nursery window as they bring the baby in. Now all of a sudden it seems so strange to me how we've gone from something missing to a family. Looking through the glass, I think about the man that's standing next to me. And I hope I'm at least half the dad that he doesn't have to be, that he didn't have to be. Joseph didn't have to, wanted to. Didn't need to, did it. In our society today, in our thoughts today, in our ways, all too often, what happens? It all becomes about who? Me. We approach this Christmas season. Friends, it's a humbling moment to think about all the things that never had to happen. That Joseph never had to do this. I always like to read the very end of that over and over again. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He didn't have to. He remained in the back quiet, and he taught us, you don't have to be loud and in front. You simply have to accept. It's the Christmas season, isn't it? Isn't it coming? Can't you see it everywhere? Next time you look at the Nativity, take a look at Joseph. Every single painting, every single picture that I have ever laid eyes on has Joseph in this position. I pray that's us. We don't have to be. We should be humbled, ready to be accepting. I want to. Now, let's be realistic here. I can't be quiet. I don't think anybody in the annals of history will ever term me as a quiet man. My wife says I'm even loud when I'm asleep. That's all right. I'll be loud about Jesus. I'll be able to answer when the call comes. And I will approach this season, as I would ask you to do, with simple humility. That of all the things that could took place, all the things that could happen, of all the gifts you can get, and believe you me, I can think up some pretty good ones. None will take that away. As a young boy born to die, humbling himself because he didn't have to, with a father who didn't have to. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, light us up. Bring us back from the brink. I know what we're all doing. You know good and well we're all racing around this year. Gotta get the right gift. Gotta. Stop it. Let our hearts be filled with humility. Let us remember that every time that we see a nativity, three people didn't have to. That should stop us in our tracks. That should lift us up. That should raise us up. That should carry us forward, smiling, glowing, knowing that when it all was finished, He was born to save us from ourselves. Point us forward in the Christmas season, Father, as Christians. Knowing what this season means, knowing that as we approach the great day, yes, there will be much to share and much joy, but put it upon our hearts to stop and be thankful unto you and unto a quiet man who didn't have to be, who through several very light, simple verses within your word teaches us Oh, so much. Pray it now that you strengthen us with this message. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If there's something on your heart today, if there is a strengthening that needs to be in place, as we sing the last hymn, I don't know, what is the last hymn? Oh, Have Thine Own Way. Of course. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If your way is to be up here in front, let me pray with you. Don't leave these doors without it. As we sing this last hymn.
Number 591, please stand.
Have Thy own way.
Saving grace of our loving Savior be with us as we go from here. May He make your feet to walk upon a path that may be hard this week, but show you His ultimate joy, the love He has for you. May you be humbled, may you be ever mindful of the things heard here today and things yet to be taught. I pray His blessing upon each and every one of you as you depart from here today. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.